Good afternoon. This is collective bargaining on Thursday, February 26th. And I'm Mike Matamore.
Yes, you are.
And thank you and good night. Well, whatever.
He just couldn't resist driving all the way down to Orlando.
Yeah. Right. What does Brian Williams say? All right. Sorry about that. You know, the nightly news, I saw this thing on CBS Sunday morning. There's a woman who does a piece every once in a while, and it's kind of a comedy bit. But she was saying how in real life, her real job outside of doing these bits for CBS Sunday Morning is she's a voiceover actress.
Oh.
And then she was showing all the different things that has her voice, you know, like ads. And she was saying, like, the biggest job ever is to say, this is CBS Evening News with Scott Pelley. Now, just those words. And if you listen to them, one is Morgan Freeman, one is Michael Douglas, and one is Tom Selleck.
Whoa.
And they all get paid millions of dollars to say a single line. So one says, this is ABC News. And you can tell it when, after I saw her thing, you can tell. So anyway.
You get a royalty every time.
Every time, yeah.
That's why actors love the commercials.
Sure.
Yeah, it's kind of cool in a way, though. So you have to listen to it now, and you can see who's who. Okay.
Minutes.
Oh, minutes. Yep.
Anything different? It's going to knock us off stride.
Isn't that cool, though?
Yeah, you're the one who needs to.
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
They seem okay to me.
Okay.
Barbara's our official reviewer of the minutes.
Okay.
No, it's just that you do it better than the rest of us. It seems you catch things.
We wanted to talk about two areas of negotiations. We do not have a written proposal on either one of these areas or issues, but we will next time.
Okay.
You know, maybe if we take the opportunity to exchange ideas about in both of these areas, we might save time when we do get to putting something together in writing. The first thing we want to talk about is sabbaticals. And we, first off, philosophically, our approach will be that we are open to increasing the number of sabbaticals. This is how the numbers would shake out. stuck to the bottom of it.
Okay, it's easy.
Yeah.
Sorry.
So currently, we're at 1-to-30 ratio. And that's rounds to 25. If we go to a 1-to-25, it rounds to 28.
If we see, that's what the columns are?
Yeah.
Okay.
If we go to a 1-to-20 ratio, it rounds to 36. And then we have them broken out by colleges.
So what you're seeing is actual numbers from
2014-15? Right, current numbers, right?
And then there were 25 just that were available this round, and they're being awarded right about now, actually.
Right.
And so if we had used the different new metrics you proposed, these would be the numbers.
What we wanted to talk about was we're also open to exploring an alternative method of distributing the sabbaticals and the sabbatical money. I guess currently there's full pay for a semester or three quarters pay for a year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a third distribution, maybe there's some other kind of way of getting to it. We haven't landed on what we might offer up. We're thinking maybe there could be some kind of hybrid where a person who's getting grant money would the grant would take up some of the space of the full. They could have a year, or maybe that's what happens in practice now with the other quarter.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it can sometimes happen.
Yeah.
And we do have what are called the non-competitive ones.
Mm-hmm.
Someone correct me if I'm because I'm not
looking
at the book.
Yeah,
we're
not looking out now.
Yeah.
Type 1, type 2 or something.
Which are a year at half pay. Yeah, so we have that third category in. I checked the numbers from COS because that's what I had access to right away, and I'm familiar with that,
mm-hmm.
So I'm a little more comfortable looking at those numbers. And people do take those. Sometimes it's two faculty per semester that use those.
The non-competitive.
Mm-hmm, the non-competitive one. And then the competitive ones, the one semester at full or the two semesters at three quarters, those are both utilized as well right now. So basically all three options are utilized by faculty. It depends on their situation.
Yeah. Right? If you have a person, right now, if you have a person who is getting grant money, let me see if I can figure this out. The grant money would come in, and they were on a full one semester. The grant money would come into the university, right? How would that work, right? It would have to come into the, is that how it happens?
Mm-hmm.
So they're funding their own sabbatical with their grant money?
Well, folks could do that. I mean, if the grant will support it, they can buy out, say, their teaching. But it's a little...
They'd be on sabbatical.
Yeah, that would be a little bit different because usually when they buy out their teaching, they still have their service component,
mm-hmm.
and obviously they have their research component, whereas sabbatical is a little different because you don't have the service component usually.
Would the typical grant in science, John, be for over a year period or over a semester?
Yeah, most of the time it's multi-year.
Yeah.
I mean, the big ones are, three years in engineering as well?
Well, it all depends on your grant. I had a grant came in for a year. I took a non-competitive sabbatical, and my grant paid for the difference.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so if you had a one-semester situation where you had a grant coming in, that one semester would be fully funded by the university, but the subsequent semester, which may be our summer, you
mm-hmm.
paid for under your grant. You just spread it out appropriately to whenever you're buying out.
Okay.
But that buyout provision is already there, so folks could use that if the grant was supported. Not all grants allow that.
Okay.
Some are more flexible and open than others.
Okay.
It depends on the funding source.
All right. Well, as we look at the number of sabbaticals we are negotiating, we also think we should, if we land back on the same configuration of types of sabbaticals that we have now, maybe that's where we land back, but we think we should also maybe take a different look at whether there's another type of animal that should be in the mix.
Yeah, one of our big concerns, first is that, you know, when you look at the total number of, we just took the total number of tenured and tenure track faculty, basically divided by 7, because sabbatical comes once every 7 years. That's the number of people who would be eligible. And presumably, if we do a good job hiring people, they're all going to be worthy, let's say, of a sabbatical or deserving of a sabbatical, and it would reinforce their productivity for the university to have a sabbatical. So if you sort of say that, okay, that's kind of your need threshold, is 1 in 7, you know, the further away you are from that, the more of a hole you're digging yourself, because then people queue up behind it. And so it takes a while to clear the backlog. And when we're hiring, it gets exacerbated if we hire big chunks, because now we're going to have 7 years from next year, 100 or 200 people in addition to the folks who are already queued up. So we're trying to not just redress a current problem, because we already know that there's been some unusual behavior around the sabbaticals on both sides, that indicates there's a problem, but there's going to be a real crunch coming in about 7 years.
What problem are you talking about? Unusual behavior.
Well, things like Kennedy being leaned on by their administrators to change the order of selection, and faculty proposing to do things that maybe aren't their first choices to do, that they wouldn't ordinarily do in order to have a higher likelihood of getting a sabbatical at all. Mm-hmm. So, you know, those two sorts of behaviors. When you start to see that, then the system's broken, because both sides are trying to get around constrictions.
I'm not sure that changing this would change that, but please make me aware of any irregularities that you encounter, because this is the first that I've heard of something this year that I,
yeah.
Because we did negotiate last time to take the administrators off of the sabbatical committee. So if you have anything to alert me to, please do. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, I will say I did not get in to see the provost until Monday because, you know, we had the big bog thing going on with the downtown campus, so his time was pretty consumed with that. And then I've been out sick for my first day back this week, so I was going to try draft some language, but he is very cognizant of the problem and is willing to increase the numbers. I mean, he has no problem with the numbers. He's looking at maybe there are some more creative ways to stretch the dollars by configuring them slightly differently. So
yeah.
That's
no, creativity is good.
That is not. It's not the numbers that are the problem. It's you know how can we get the biggest bang for our buck?
No, I mean we're happy to look at.
Yeah.
You know, there's no need to stay confined in the box that even that we inherited from the the previous.
And what we're going to do is next by the next time we meet, we'll have something in writing for you.
Okay.
But I guess given that we're going to take on the task of drafting this article on sabbaticals, and what Sherry just said, is there anything that you think we should know going into the exercise of writing this up? Relative to what Sherry was saying, how we might get creative.
Yeah, yeah, and you can email me, you know,
caucus
in between sessions too if something hits you.
Okay. Yeah. No, that's workable.
Okay. The other thing that again we plan on bringing to the table in writing for the next session is language with regard to parental leave.
Okay.
And we have looked at how parental leave has been handled at other campuses, other universities in the system. And we're going to look at some kind of hybrid of mixing what Florida Atlantic did with what University of South Florida did. So if you wanted to look to what they did in their contracts, we're going to probably take some kind of configuration of what they did. Do you have anything you want to add to that, Sherry?
No, I'm just going to say that, again, I had this conversation with the provost on Monday, and he's recognizes that this is something I knew his time has come. So it's just a question of how do we put it together to make it work for us.
Well, we actually brought our proposal for that.
Good.
Okay. To look at, so I think the timing is good.
That's good.
And we have reviewed what all the other state university system
right.
schools
yeah,
have
we
done,
have to.
And also what other institutions have done. So we have some ideas. Actually, two out of the three ideas we have are already in the contract. I mean, they're already in the CBA.
Okay.
But we can talk about that.
Great.
Maybe at the
yeah.
end or something.
Okay.
That might be a good time.
Well, that's about, you know, I mean, those are the two areas that we, you know, are trying to focus in on and be able to put in writing and bring to you, and we will next time, hopefully. And I don't know what else we have. I guess we might bring in layoff and recall.
I've done a lot of work on that, and again, I had hoped to have language. I just got kind of blindsided this week, but I don't think we're looking at making major changes to that article. What we're looking at, and I think that one of them, there are two big problems with that, and one is just the weird use of the term layoff and laid off, because the way it creates the timing is funky. So I don't think there'll be I would be surprised if we have great differences on that. Where I'm not really even going to try to elucidate, but I want us to start thinking between us how we're going to make those terms alternate and equivalent work for us, what definitions that we want to make, because that's where we've gotten into some real problems with alternate, equivalent, and similar, because they come in two different sections, and they just, they are indistinguishable as far as dictionaries go, and I think that's something that we need to have a real conversation about, so hopefully we can come to some common ground on that. I have some ideas, and I'll attach that to the language that I've written a sheet that kind of gives some thoughts on it, but you know, we can talk about that next time too.
Okay, good. Hopefully your voice will
yeah.
last out even beyond today.
well I'm very stubborn and stupidly so about going to the doctor, and you know, I always try to think I can just take enough vitamin C and sleep this off, and so I finally got on some medication yesterday, so hopefully I'll start sounding and feeling a little better.
Yeah, there is another article that, Article 12 on the non-reappointment.
Yeah, Charlie's gave me some ideas on that.
She has to take those.
To the deans, yeah.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to sort of get a progress report, because
there were meetings that were canceled, and so she wasn't able to get into them in between these two sessions.
Yeah,
and you didn't go over it with the provost yet either, right?
No, because I told him I had to get on the next Dean's Council
right.
meeting, that had to be a priority.
Yeah. Okay, so just kind of checking off my list of things to inquire about. Yeah, that's right where I'm headed. Good. With Article 2 on consultation, I don't know if we had any. You're reaching.
I think we are at
status
quo in that,
because
we just, it is so difficult for us to get all the parties together. Poor Charlie drives her nuts. And we have found that doing these single
that
topic.
Thanks, Barbara.
We did have good luck this past semester. I think even Jim would say we had good luck doing single topic consultations, where it was just the people that really had to be involved. And we would like to just sort of continue in that tradition if we could.
Yeah, our concern is that that's working now. But we know that didn't necessarily happen in the past, and it might not happen in the future, and so we're...
I don't know.
So just Just so you know, by comparison, since FAU and FSU were brought up earlier.
Or USF.
Or USF, sorry. I can't even keep the Florida school. I know, I've been to all of them. I know now, I know where they are.
You've been to all of them?
I think I've been on all the campuses. And this is what the other schools are doing, not, it's necessarily the best way, or the only way, but, you know, my concern with the contract is that people and positions change, and that things seem to be going along swimmingly, and then all of a sudden grind to a halt with a person leaving or being promoted to a new position or something like that, being taken out of the loop somehow.
Well, it looks like most of them are
pretty comparable.
Pretty well close. The only two that are not where we are the top three. And UF at either's request, if you're talking about...
Yeah, theirs is the most open of all.
Yeah, but I suspect that they don't have as broad a representation of people appearing at the consultation as we sometimes do, but I could certainly check on that.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, one time we were just having Charlie and myself and Lynn Huff Corzine meet. If that's, if you'll settle for that, we can do that as often as you want, but if you've got to have the provost and a bunch of other people, because we've really tried hard in the last, Charlie's worked really hard to get people from the departments that have a dog in the hunt to come. And,
right.
You know, when you've got...
Well, that's been effective in the past.
Long
I think
agendas.
That's worked
yeah.
pretty well, at least
so,
in the few that I've attended.
Yeah.
It's just that we're getting into this, we have a lot of things that pile up kind of on our end, and
mm-hmm.
some of them we're able to bring over to you right away, and others,
yeah, well,
it takes us a while to figure out, is this just a one-time problem, or is this something larger that we really need to bring to consultation? And,
that's fine.
You know, right now, our next consultation's in April. The last one was, when, October, September? You know, so it's quite a long gap, time-wise. You know, it's not our intention to have a consultation just because there's an opportunity. If we don't need to have a meeting, we're not going to schedule a meeting, believe me. But anyway, it's just something to consider.
Sure.
That's all this is being offered for.
Okay.
It's just to be considered. So I'm just going to take down the order. So next
go ahead.
Is Article 5 of the academic freedom.
That one, I think, maybe at the next meeting, if we have enough time, I've met with the provost on that, and he had a couple of questions that he wanted me to bring back to you, and so I will do that. And then, if depending on what the answers that we get, he might actually come to bargaining one in April and talk about that with you.
Okay.
So it's not been forgotten.
Okay.
Still.
So we should just leave that on the docket for.
Just leave that on the docket for
okay.
now.
I don't think we're going to end up that far apart in that particular article. So then Article 6, the non-discrimination one.
Mm-hmm.
Well, last time we gave you some information about how the federal anti-discrimination laws have been extended to caregivers, which is actually, I think, even a broader sweep than parents.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know what...
Yeah, I mean,
it seems as like part of the problem is already addressed.
The genetic part is addressed. I don't know which, you know, where you're...
Yeah, it was more the parental care or caregiver is probably a better term. And you can see where, if you're going to include that term in the list, it would almost be redundant in many cases.
Mm-hmm.
And ordinarily, I would argue against redundancy in all ways. But in this case, because it's kind of a couple levels down, like we talked about this in previous years,
mm-hmm.
and then we brought some research, and you guys went further, one level below where we went, before we really got the document, provided us with some pretty solid guidance. That's pretty far to go for, say, a department chair or department head, or, you know, faculty members reading the CBA. So I'm just asking you to think about maybe... wise to put that word in there just to provide that additional guidance, or is there another way to make sure that we don't run into situations that both sides want to avoid?
Let me see if I understand what you're suggesting, John, that we would put in a word that would capture what was in the information we gave you. Like, I'm just speaking out loud, like caregiver as defined and reference a definition?
Sure.
Like those materials. All right, well, we can certainly take that back and consider that as a possibility.
Okay, so that's six. Okay, Article 8, appointments. We haven't moved on at all in quite a while. Are you holding off on that one for a while? Okay. And then Article 20, which was the grievance procedure and arbitration. Mm-hmm. You indicate you might bring some altered schedule.
Yes. I apologize, I forgot. Next time.
Next time. Sorry. That's okay.
I completely forgot about that.
So I think that's everything I wanted to just touch base on.
Okay.
Why would anything else for me?
Okay. And you got some stuff for us then.
Try to find, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's why I like seeing this top line in the articles.
Yeah, like that.
Bigger.
Yeah.
We seem to be slowing down a fair bit. I think we're close on a few articles.
Yeah, I think we are too.
Accomplish them the next time.
Yeah.
Okay. Well then, why don't we boldly move forward? And let me first lay out what I'll give you, and I'll give it to you. Because when you look at it again, you're going to see a lot of red and think, oh, my goodness. But there's really only one thing that's really been changed in there. So what we tried to do with this Article 17 and trying to get the parental family leave policy formalized was to first recognize that the university's got a lot of money invested in faculty. You know, so a new faculty member coming in, just by the time they reach tenure, the tenure decision, just in salaries and benefits and retirement and startup money, that could be $1 million plus investment. And that doesn't include all the training that the university provides as well. So you start adding that up and it's a huge investment. So it's important to maintain the faculty productivity and enhance the value to the university when the faculty member has these dual responsibilities with their academic work and then family responsibilities. And so what we're trying to do with our proposal is find the best way to accomplish those two goals, is to not put those two things in conflict, but to try to make them so that they work for everybody. So we've tried to put together a really flexible policy, recognizing that no two situations are the same, no two faculty members are the same, you know, their needs, their responsibilities, the things that they have on their table. So we've tried to build that into our proposal. So the three things we've done is we elevated one component that was already kind of buried in the CBA, and that was what we're going to call modified work duties, where basically the faculty member and their supervisor get together and say, okay, let's say I've got a child on the way, and we have a rough idea when the child's going to arrive, and maybe it's mid-semester, maybe it's the end of a semester. Is there a way that we can restructure the assignment so that I continue to do some aspects of it, I take on other responsibilities in lieu of the ones that are going to create a time conflict and difficulty, and then we go forward that way. So it's really taking a kind of a small, obscure part of the CBA and elevating it to its own heading and making it prominent. The other one that we'd like to retain is the flexibility for the unpaid leave option. So that's already in there, and we basically just retain that. So the new component is a paid family leave program. Okay, and so that's the one that's going to be new that you'll see. What you'll see that's been struck out, that's responsible for most of the red, is the FMLA language. Because that's federal language. You know, we don't put in Social Security language or...
I'm so glad you're doing that. We've tried forever to get that language out, and for some reason, prior teams of negotiators just thought, no, we got to put it in there. And we always said that, but good.
Well,
that's a good step forward.
It is a good step forward. The reason why it's in there is because the FMLA says that the rights under the FMLA must be included in every collective bargaining agreement. The federal law says that.
I did not know that.
But we can say that in a paragraph, can't we?
You can say that in a paragraph. Okay. You can just say, can we incorporate the rights of the Family Medical Leave Act?
Because you don't have to spell it out.
Right?
Yeah.
Verbatim.
Right? There's actually a clause of the Family Medical Leave Act that says every collective bargaining agreement negotiated must make a reference to the rights included in this part.
References.
Yeah. But, I mean, a lot of people throw all the throw in the kitchen sink because that's what the hat's for.
Well, I think it, you know, in a way it causes some confusion faculty and administrators, too. They don't know where to go to find the information. Mm-hmm. Is it in the CBA? Is it in something HR has? And so if we put the sort of HR things in HR,
it's really confusing language to try to read on your own. I mean, you need to really have people who know what it says explain it.
And it's changed, so we would have to make adjustments anyway.
Right.
It has changed.
So.
Yeah.
And somewhere in this part that's struck out, it says that if anything is changed that's not in the CBA, then you have to remove it. So it's...
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry, I didn't mean to say that out loud.
Liam, did we get that on the audio?
What did Charlie say?
Absolutely. So what we envision in our proposal is that the faculty member can pick the component that best fits where they are in their career and what's, you know, happening with them family-wise. So we can keep the career development going and the family responsibilities, keep those two out of conflict. We've tried to be inclusive and encompass all the situations that we can envision, or at least most of them, in the ways that a child enters into a family, because there's lots of different ways. And as a biologist, when I started, you know, write the more specific language that we seem to like, I finally just gave up, you know, because you've got sperm donation, egg donation, surrogate mothers, and it gets really complicated. So we tried to be as inclusive as we could about that, and also with when a faculty member often unexpectedly becomes a primary caregiver for a member of their family. We've tried to make it organized because I think that's where we have some difficulties in the current language, is that it's not, sorry, I don't want to say proactive, but sometimes faculty members can foresee these things coming, and because they don't have other options, they just revert back to using sick leave for it. And then it can become really disruptive to the classroom, to their research, I mean, to the whole department, really. And so if we can try to keep it organized so that folks know what's coming as best we can, then we can accommodate those sorts of things. We can make sure that classes aren't being disrupted and things like that. And really, the end goal is to try to enhance the partnership between the faculty member and the university, so really acting to increase productivity. You know, this should, in the end, increase your recruitment and retention rates, which, you know, that impacts faculty too. We're searching for an entomologist. We just lost a good one. And that hurts. Yeah. Now I've heard we've got some good people coming in, but still we lost the startup or pay the startup twice. And so you don't want to do that. And I think it'll help us increase the stature of UCF. It'll put it in line with the general reputation of the university and of the area, of Orlando being really inclusive and really diverse and being progressive on some things. So anyway, that's what we're trying to do. I'll give this to you, and you can grade us on how well you thought we did. I guess we'll find out shortly. No, this
I'm sure it wasn't.
Yeah. actually, to be honest, when I was looking at a lot of different examples, the ones that were the best were the shortest ones. And this one's a little bit long, but there are a lot of other universities where they get the whole thing down in one computer screen, so it's not even a whole page of text.
I think we may have a suggestion, one that might shorten it up considerably, too.
Yeah. We're happy to hear those suggestions.
Not having to do with family leave, but...
Okay. Don't be shy about that.
No, it's okay. I'll tell you.
Okay. Whoa. What happened on page 55? Just sort of...
Oh, that's because it's the track changes.
Oh.
Yeah, okay. There's just a big jump there.
Okay. It's not like invisible language or
anything. No, no, no.
That's a really good idea.
You know, I started to fix it, and then for some reason I said, hey, I should look at it with no markup. With no markup, it's
right.
Perfect.
10% increase for bargaining.
No, that's next time. You're ahead of yourself.
I wondered about that as soon as I said it.
That's my fault. I think I linked those together earlier.
Mm-hmm.
On page 56, you took out the definition of immediate family. Is
because
that
I got moved up forward.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's
page
on page
52. 52.
Yeah. It's 17.7A2.
Sends me an electronic copy, I'll have something that I can follow.
Is it the same definition?
I think so, but I should double check.
Yeah, I was going to say, might not be a bad idea to have it in there twice. It's the same definition.
I
definition doesn't necessarily include certain
yeah.
things that we might.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
It could be different.
We'll look at it for our response, right?
Mm-hmm. I do like the clarity of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yes. Yeah, Jim actually said that we should take that out. And,
right.
and in the other legal documents, I've seen like at the federal level, they take that out as well. Although they often say that they're really discussing that, but they don't use the term.
We'll look at that. Does anybody have any questions about this? Should we take a caucus?
Sure, unless you've got anything else she wants to look at.
No.
This is it?
No, it's just me getting ready for next time.
Okay, we'll right. take a caucus.
Is there a place you can look for us on caucus?
Whether you have any thoughts for us on sabbatical.
Okay, put our heads together and see if folks have ideas.
Thanks. We have, we appreciate the work done on the proposal for Article 17, and we have some issues that we're going to have to work through probably beyond the time limitations of a caucus. But we did have one question. We sort of just wanted to just kind of sweep through it to see if there's something we should ask before we take it back. And that has to do with, on page 53, in subsection C, there's the language recognizing.
Hold on a second, like I'm trying to
sure.
find where it is.
It's in the
okay,
top
right.
half of the
I got
page.
It, I got it.
And there's language that says an employee may use paid family leave for a period of one regular fall or spring semester. Now, did you have a idea about how many times a person could use parental leave in a career? Because I think most of the parental leave policies that I have negotiated to date have some kind of cap. Or there has to be a period of time between the use, you know, that's...
Yeah, we saw those and debated on what the right interval should be or the timing should be and things like that. And one of the issues we had with that is that, especially with regard to childbearing, you kind of have this state encouraging children to attempt to be brought into families at set intervals or set things like that. And especially being an evolutionary biologist, that kind of gives me the willies. It's a little too close to eugenics. So. We didn't put that in, but we recognize that lots of other contracts have that.
And I don't think the purpose of that language in those contracts is to regulate the pattern in which people have childbirth or become parents. I think it's to put a limit on the. I guess a couple things happens when it's used frequently over the course of a career. It causes some kind of disruption to the career, obviously. It causes an additional disruption to the work unit. There may be other people in the work unit who also want to use parental leave, and that creates, you know, a pressure point for coverage and productivity. And just so that, you know, I mean, all benefits tend to have some kind of upper limit, even though, I mean, even sick leave and annual leave and family medical leave, all of them have some kind of containment.
Right.
You think you can have more babies, you better
be cool. Well, part of the dilemma was in looking at the different solutions that contracts offered, that there was no common theme to them. And so that suggests that no one's hit on the right solution yet.
Yeah.
So, you know,
Well, we just had a question. Okay. And the question was, did you intend, one person could, I guess, one person could read the sentences saying you could only use it once or not. I mean, I think there's an ambiguity in the first sentence as to whether, if I may use family leave for one semester. You know,
we didn't intend to limit it to one semester.
Okay.
That was meant to be per event.
All right, we understand. Does anybody else have any other question?
Come back with next session.
Let's watch next week. Poor Mike. He'll be wearing out the rooms.
What was the average number of children that faculty members have? And, you know, the workforce is aging, so it's probably going to decline.
Well, it's. I just did some back-of-the-envelope calculations, and it's less than two kids per faculty member. Now the question is, you know, were those kids at the same institution? You know, because folks are moving more frequently.
But you just said the population is aging, and the second pillar of this is the leave when you're caregiver.
Right.
So
and
it's
that's one where the timing may be more uncertain. I mean, kids come into the world on their own schedule as well, but, you know, sudden accidents could happen.
Well, there has to be a precipitating event between two consenting adults before the child comes in. So, whereas caregiving, yeah. I mean, you know, you can get your husband or your mother to get struck down with cancer or Alzheimer's or something or a car accident.
Car accident, yeah.
Yeah, there's no
those things,
thought.
Those things tend to happen without notice.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And with 200 new faculty members coming on board, too, that's a large portion of those are going to be younger and probably within childbearing ages. So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, there's some pragmatic considerations that we need to think through.
Yeah.
Because this is, you know, admittedly, two out of the three components of this already existed.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And we're just elevating one of them, but one of them's new. And so we have to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds like, in principle, there's maybe some agreement on that.
There is agreement that it's a benefit that needs to be offered.
Okay,
you know,
so that
how
just have,
the parameters, yeah. How that works.
Mm-hmm.
So let's just keep talking. I mean, we want to put something on paper as a framework.
Right.
No, we appreciate that.
We appreciate that.
Just get,
yeah,
get
we,
the ball rolling.
When we're doing something new, we almost never, the first attempt on either side is almost never the final attempt. So
we've been doing pretty good so far. I mean, we haven't gone beyond two, I don't think, for anything. Admittedly, they were the easy ones.
Yes.
Yeah.
But we can, you know, we can just hope that it just stays easy the rest of the way. It doesn't need to get hard.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay.
All right, everybody, thanks.
We're done?
We're done.
I guess so.
Charlie.
Charlie.
Yeah. Do we want to have that conversation about the email?